Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM here in Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Bob Heck with you here, and usually at this point in the proceedings, I would do the forecast, but we're pre-recording this show, so the forecast would be worthless because it would be out of date and you would all be confused. And so we're just not going to do that today. You know, part of why I wanted to start doing this show is to, you know, speak to interesting people in the community that are doing interesting things that we may or may not even know about. I mean, we'll have the politicians on. It's in time. But I want to talk to some cool people. And we got some somebody who I think is really cool today. We have Danny Barnes. Danny, how are you?
Good. How are you, Bob?
I'm good. I mean, we've been friends on Facebook for a while. I asked on Facebook, hey, who's doing cool stuff and wants to come on the show? And you reached out to me, and I said, well, what are you doing that's interesting? And you say, oh, I work for Monster Jam, and I was a stuntman. And I'm like, cash it. Let's do it. So thank you for joining us on the show and talking about what you do. Now, stuntman, huh? How did that all begin, and how did you get into that work to begin with?
Actually, I guess monster trucks and stunts, they were kind of hand in hand. I mean, growing up as a kid, going to Lebanon Valley, seeing the monster trucks, you know, that was always a highlight of the year. And same thing, the Joey Chitwood stunt show at the Big E, that was always a staple of my childhood. And you know, I was always curious, you know, how could I do that one day? Which, you know, it kind of led to me, it led me to volunteering. I got on like chat rooms and forums and talked to people in the industry and just learned how to become active in either industry. The ones that got back to me first was, of course, John Cisak, who at the time was driving the Sun Impact monster truck. He needed help at Stafford Motor Speedway for Monster Jam. I went down that weekend and I helped him out. At the end of the weekend, I got a shirt and a hat, and I didn't expect to hear from anybody. It was about 6 months later, I got a phone call, and they asked me to go to Chicago, go through some trainings on the Monster Jam side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, I don't know, later the summer of the next year, I got called to do a show in upstate Vermont. There, I met the guy that was building the track. His name is Jeff Bursey, who also owns and operates monster trucks here out of Massachusetts. And that was pretty much where I got my in for the stunt world. He worked more of the independent scene with monster trucks, and that is where the stunts came in. Meeting the guys from Thrillmasters, they collaborated with KSR Motorsports, who at the time was doing a night of fire and destruction. It was monster trucks and stunts together. So that's really where, that's kind of how I got two stunts. And I guess the rest is history. I mean, you know, I tried to be a sponge. Learn as much as I could. A lot of it's mathematics, which I was never good at. So
mm-hmm.
I had some catching up to do. But I guess that's how I started out with stunts. I kind of started with the two of them together.
Now, you know, I wanted to play baseball when I was little, and I would just go outside and play baseball or football or hockey or what have you. Is that something you were doing growing up as a kid, doing stunts in the backyard? I guess the big thing is, like, how do you even practice for it? I always see, like, for example, the Winter Olympics are coming up, and these guys are flying around off of ski jumps and flipping. I'm like, what makes you, like, you learn how to become a better baseball player by playing baseball and learning the fundamentals. Like, how do you train to flip around and not land on your face? Because you're going to land on your face the first bunch of times you do it. I've always wondered how people like that or stunt people, you know, practice, get started, and, you know, is this something you were doing stupid stuff in the jumping off the roof in the backyard when you were little, or how did that all come about?
Well, I guess kind of growing up in the neighborhood, you know, we had a neighbor that had a pool and a trampoline, so that was always the cool
thing.
That
helps,
yeah. Getting up on the roof and jumping off the roof to the trampoline and into the pool. That kind of, you know, that, and everybody wants to build the biggest and fastest ramp to jump their bike off of. You know, my grandfather, he lived on a hill in Lanesboro by the lake. We used to start at the top of his street, and we would run right down the street, out onto the docks and right into the water, on our bikes. You know, it's, you know, that's just messing around being a kid. And then, you know, you fast forward, you get into a couple car accidents, you know, as a, as a teenager out there raising heck. And, you know, that's never fun, but I guess if you're prepared for it, it can be.
Yeah, I mean,
in a sense.
And we do stupid stuff as kids. I mean, that's part of being a kid. I rode a bike down a hill once and flipped over the handlebars, landed on my face, ended up in the ER. But it sounds like you were doing a little more than that. I mean, how many ER visits did you have as a kid?
As a kid, I can only recall maybe three or four instances where my shenanigans got me in the ER. As an adult, if you ask my wife,
oh, right.
The ER was her least favorite place, and I made it that way. I know in 2009, I was doing a stunt in upstate New York. It was Bath, New York. And the stunt was, they call it the suicide slide for life, where I sit on a leather pad and I get dragged through fire. And I actually got a world record for that back then, which it's since been beaten. But that show that summer, I had performed 35 times trying to beat myself every time, you know, adding a little more gas, adding a little more length to the fire. Just that one night in Bath, it didn't go so well. I rolled into the fire pit and I was completely engulfed. That instance, I almost lost my hand.
Man.
So that's the worst. That's the worst injury to date. Knock on wood. Was that? So I was laid up for a couple of months in some reconstructive surgery.
And you said that was back in 2009, right?
Yes.
And you told me before we started you were a stuntman until 2013. Now, I think after I got dragged through fire and almost lost my hands, I would think at that point I'd be like, you know what? I think I'm going to find something else to do. But not you. You kept on going. How come? And what did your wife think about the whole thing?
I guess the reason why I continued doing it is the adrenaline rush. You know, everybody's looking for the adrenaline rush, the rush, and I guess that's what kept me at it. The only caveat I will tell you is I did semi-retire in 2013. Then I was just doing car crashes. Both of my boys were very young then. So I guess that was the agreement with my wife, no more fire. So I started doing car crashes, you know, and then, you know, there was a gap in the window, 2013 to maybe just before the pandemic, where I didn't do any stunts at all. I just focused on monster trucks. And then just before the pandemic, there was an opportunity to join a show similar to the Chitwoods. They did a Chitwood 50th anniversary show, tour. I joined that, Black Cat Hell Drivers Thrillmaster stunt show. So I got back into the stunts that way. And then, I mean, I'm still doing stunts now. Just this past summer, I did a couple of car crashes. I did a 50-foot car jump into a bunch of other cars at a fair in upstate New York. It's really just I don't know. I'll do anything for money, I guess, you know, in today's world.
Yeah, you know, the economy being what the economy is, you know, some people say 20 bucks is 20 bucks. But, I mean, I'm sure you get paid more for that being dragged through fire. But talk about car crashes. You say, I just do car crashes like it's some, like I'm going to the bank, you know. I'm going to go do some car crashes. Talk to me about what that entails. What exactly is that?
It's a lot of prep work and a lot of, you know, I can't give away too many secrets.
Sure.
But it's a lot of prep work. It's a lot of mathematics and calculations. They seem worse than what they actually are. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
As far as training, it's getting in the gym, you know, like when you go to the gym for the first time, and the next day your entire body's sore. That's essentially what it's like to be in a car crash. You know, my first couple of times crashing a car and doing a jump that, you know, I was hurting for days. And now I'm to the point in my life where I have methods and routines that I go through, you know, before, you know, the day of, and even up until actual impact. That help. So the next day is just, you wake up and it's the next day. There are times I feel it, and then there's times where it's just any other day. So, and actually now I'm 42. I've been at it for quite some time now. So I'm starting to get my kids into it now. My oldest son is 15 and he did his first car crash with me this summer. Like a passing of the torch, so to speak, and he loved it.
Is he driving the car, or is he like in the passenger seat with you? Because like, he's not supposed to be driving, period, at 15. I mean, I'm sure it's a little different at the track and wherever you are.
Right. Well, back to what you asked before, like, how do you prepare for it? How do you know what to expect? You know, how do you train? Crashing a car, there's no training. You got to do it. So for this one, I gave him my backup safety equipment, and I made sure that he had everything that he needed, and he rode in the passenger seat with me because, you know, he's been wanting to for a couple of years, and finally got my wife to be like, hey, you know what, if you promise me he'll be safe. So, yeah, we got him all strapped in, and he did the car crash with me, and I just talked through him, you know, the entire process, like, you know, right before impact and when we were doing, like, speed runs, you know, I was trying to go off of him. You know, we made a couple of hot passes in front of the crowd where he got into it and was waving. And then, like, key points of, like, where I wanted him to take a breath or breathe out. My big thing is right before impact, I scream, just because when you scream or when you exhale, you relax your body. It's kind of, you try to do the opposite of, like if you're in a car accident or if you're about to be rear-ended, you know, some people see it in the mirror and they tense up, and that's the worst thing for you. So it was trying to bring that home to him. And he loved it. So, I suspect that we'll get him driving in a show at some point this year.
And you said, so are you saying like the more car crashes you take, it's sort of like, you know, cardio, the more running you do, the less it sucks. Is this sort of the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, each time you do it, you're improving upon it, you know, and the outcomes are never the same. But I try and calculate everything, so at least the impact is relatively the same. So as long as the routines up until the impact are the same, at least the way that your body feels afterward is usually pretty good. So yeah, I mean, I guess abs, you know, you always feel the abs no matter what. You could be laughing and feel your abs. It's the same with a car crash. I used to worry about my back, and, you know, this year I did that car jump and I felt fine. and it was like a week later found out I had a compound fracture.
Oh, that's crazy. How did you not know?
I never felt a thing. We were on our way to, me and my wife were on our way to Jamaica, and I bent over to pick up my suitcase, and that was it.
But oh.
I had never felt anything up until that point. And that was like a week later, so.
You're listening to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Bob Heck here with you on a Tuesday morning about 7:46. We're here with Danny Barnes, who is in the Berkshires, lives in the Berkshires, is a stuntman, works for Monster Jam. We'll talk more about Monster Jam in a little bit and what he does with Monster Jam, but we're talking about stunts right now, and I'm sort of fascinated by this whole thing. So there's we're going to get back to your compound back injury there in a second, but there's like no practice runs, there's no practice crashes, because I would imagine, you know, staging a car crash in general is an expensive endeavor. That there's really no budget per se to, you know, crash cars beforehand to make sure something's working.
No, it's just like any other job. It's on the job training. You train by doing it. There are no second chances. It's just you get instructions. You know, that's kind of how I was taught too. And you know, that's the one thing that I'm trying to help my boys with is, you know, they have the chance to ride along with me to get the experience. I never got that. I was put in a car and said X marks the spot, you know. One of my first car crashes was Middletown, New York, for that Speedway's Eve of Destruction, where I drove through two campers. I drove up. It was a 10-foot ramp, so I was airborne through two campers. And, you know, there was explosions and fires. And, you know, that was the time of my life, but that was the first stunt I ever did, and I was just thrown into it. There's no practice. There's no nothing.
Now, I just want to clarify some language here. You didn't say over two trailers. You said through?
Through two trailers, yes.
Okay. So...
that's actually... I want to say 2009, that was the same stunt I performed at Lebanon Valley Speedway, too. With Thrillmasters.
Okay.
For the Eve of Destruction there. So, I mean, that's really like the gateway. You know, campers, it's a soft impact. All you feel is the ground on the other side. So
let's... Let's go back to the compound back fracture here, and not so much the fracture itself, but you mentioned you were picking up a suitcase on your way to Jamaica. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, yep.
Did you go to Jamaica?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
did you go to the hospital first at least? And like?
Yeah, no, that's how we found out that it was a compound fracture. Luckily, it was the night before. We were getting everything ready. To load the car because it was going to be an early night or early morning, per se. And, but yeah, they said there's nothing that they could really do. I had some meds, so I was comfortable on the plane. And then once I got to Jamaica, it was fruity drinks and floating in the pool.
I would imagine that would help the back situation. But I mean,
yeah.
Your wife sounds like a saint. She's totally cool with you. The only restrictions, no more fire after you almost lost your hand back in 2009. She's letting the kids get into it. I mean, how did you guys meet? Was it through like monster trucks and through? Is she like into it too, or?
No, we actually met at the Lee Outlets. I was managing a store that she worked at. Or I was managing the store that was next to the store that she worked at.
Okay. And
so that's kind of how we met.
How has taken her through this journey? If I mean, I'd get it more if it was like, oh, at Lebanon Valley, I was working a show and she was working a show. Like you're all, but now you have to bring her into this. I know when I met my wife, she was not a sports fan and she had to realize that, I very much am a sports fan, and you're going to have to get on board with this thing. How did that work out for you? Mine was a little different. I sit on the couch, watch sports. You drive through fire and through trailers.
I don't know. She took everything like a champ. I guess when you meet somebody and you know mm-hmm. no matter what. And I mean even now, I mean she's into it. I can't say that she's necessarily into me doing stunts, but I mean she's getting more and more into the monster truck aspect of it now because my kids enjoy it. Where I'm almost the exact opposite. I'm, you know, back 20 years ago, I was super into it, and now it's a job to me. But I'm still doing it for the boys. I wanna see them succeed. You know, if they wanna take the same paths as me. But yeah, and she's supportive of it. She's, you know, she was hesitant after I burnt my hand. And then I took some time off, and then it was just, you know, I got the call one day sitting at home on the couch, and, you know, we talked it out, and I explained to her the process. I explained to her what I was going to be doing, and she was okay with it because she knows that I enjoyed doing it.
So now that it's a quote unquote job, do you ever have the opportunity to, you know, go see monster trucks and stuff like that when you're not working, or if you're not working, you just don't want anything to do with it?
Well, sometimes when I'm not working, I just, it just, even talking about it, you know, I've seen it all, I've done it all. I did a lot of TV with Monster Jam. Monster Jam had some reality shows that they tried. They were on the Discovery Channel Canada, so we did some filming in El Paso. Even last year, I filmed a commercial for a new Spin Master toy that they wanted to release on Black Friday. So, you know, and I was out in Arizona for that. So I guess that's the trouble with me, is it was the travel. Mm-hmm. That kind of turns you off from it. It's a lot of travel. You don't get that time back with your family. But I can say it with that, in 23 years of being out on the road traveling, I have never missed a major holiday or a birthday for anybody, my wife or the kids. So, you know, and that was really something that I wanted to instill in myself, especially when I started having kids.
Oh, that's good.
You don't want to miss the moments, you know?
Yeah. And that's interesting with your travel schedule to make sure you're there for birthdays. I mean, my part-time gig outside of here is a wedding DJ, and, you know, sometimes I miss birthdays. My oldest was born in October, and when those fall on Saturdays, I mean, that's peak wedding season, baby, and everybody understands. Is that flexibility within the Monster Truck organization or Monster Jam organization, or do you just say, you know, listen, I need these particular days off, it's important to me?
My wife is my secretary, so she puts everything in the calendar, so I know what dates I can be available and which dates I can't be. There is a caveat to that. This weekend, which by the time this airs, it'll be, last weekend, is my oldest son's birthday, and they really need me at a show in DC for safety reasons. So, I got it. So my entire family's coming with me now to DC, this weekend to partake in those events. So, I guess, yeah, it's just, I guess, trying to work around it. But those are the situations where it gets hard.
Cool. And hopefully, and of course, it'll be after the weekend once this airs, but hopefully you don't get stuck in D.C. I don't know. They're talking about this wild, potentially crazy forecast for the weekend, which I don't believe a word they say. I think the weatherman are in cahoots with the milk and bread people at this point. You know, everything's crazy now, so go get your milk and bread. I think there's some sort of backroom deal between all of them right now, so hopefully you don't get snowed in D.C.
Well, I hope not. I gotta be back, you know, 5:30 in the morning on Monday comes really quick, because I still have a full-time job. This entire time I've been doing monster trucks and stunts, I've still kept a full-time job. So, it's Monday morning, it's back to work as usual, no matter how you feel or how tired you are. So, and, you know, that's something I'm trying to instill in my kids, too.
All right, we're halfway through. We're going to take a short time out. We're with Danny Barnes, stuntman, works for Monster Jam locally here in the Berkshires, and we're talking a lot more about that. We'll talk more about his work with the Monster Jam coming up on the other side of the break. You're listening to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR in Lee. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
What is One Berkshire? We're the voice of the business community, promoting the region and supporting local business. How do we do it? Through marketing, networking, sponsorships, and advocacy. Whether it's promotion to travelers and second homeowners, or opportunities to network with your neighbors and raise your profile, we've got you covered. So join today. Visit oneberkshire.com. That's the number one, berkshire.com.
The preceding public service announcement courtesy of WTBR and Lee Bank.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
Now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
It's Tuesday morning here in the Berkshires. Bob Heck here with you. We're talking with Danny Barnes. We talked about his work as a stuntman in the first half of the program, and he has been with Monster Jam since 2005. Danny, let's back things up. People who may not be familiar with Monster Jam, tell us what that's all about.
Monster Jam, they do, you know, I guess we'll talk about Grave Digger and Max D. Those are the two trucks that kind of built Monster Jam. They've been around since the early 90s. Back in, you know, it was TNN and TNT days. I remember watching Dusty Rhodes doing Monster Truck commentary on Friday nights. You know, and that's, you know, that's what it grew from. One show on TV every Friday night, and now there's seven different cities every week just for Monster Jam. But it's family live entertainment, monster truck competitions, freestyle motocross. It's loud motors and dirt, pretty much. And it's to make people happy, I guess, to entertain.
So talk about how you started with Monster Jam and how you evolved to what you are doing now with the organization.
Back in 2005, I was at a show just volunteering, and it was Stafford Springs Motor Speedway for the Monster Jam event. And I had walked up to one of the drivers and asked if they needed help. And they said, yeah, that they needed help. And they told me what to do. At the end of the weekend, they gave me a shirt and a hat and took my information and said thank you. And that was it. I didn't hear anything for 6 months or so. So I just assumed, you know, well, next year I'll go down to Stafford Springs and I'll try it again. But 6 months later they called and asked if I would go to Chicago and learn what they were all about. Asked if I'd be interested in traveling. So I went to Chicago. I took some trainings and I started that week, out in, I can't even remember what my first show was. I want to say it was somewhere in Texas. And I guess the rest is history. I started out as a tech official. So what we did was we would go in, for anybody that's ever been to a monster truck show, like, and you see, I guess, the display of it, you know, it's a production. And so we do like the plastic to make sure that people are safe. We put up the sponsor banners. There's lighting. Sometimes there's pyro. You know, bringing the dirt in, building the ramps, painting the cars, painting the dirt. So I did all that. And then once that is all set, then we actually run the show. So the trucks are actually run on remote control. So the trucks have drivers.
Oh, really?
They do drive the trucks, but in case something happens to the driver, they have what they call RIIs, which is a remote ignition interrupter. So what that does is it shuts the power off to the truck. So if something happens to the driver, we have the ability to stop the truck. Just as a safety precaution. So that's kind of where I started. I did that for, I want to say, about 10 years, 15 years. I would say 15 years. And then I took a year off. And then just before the pandemic, I was brought back on to do, like, air quality. So I was doing, like, more safety stuff. I would meet with fire marshals and building officials, and then I was more like back of house safety stuff versus, you know, having to do all the setup and actually run the show.
Building officials and fire marshals, I've heard from others that they can be kind of a pain in the butt. Have you run into, you know, for lack of a better term, some think they have that self-important attitude amongst them. Have you run into people like that, the different personalities? And I'm sure some are wicked cool, and they're like, yeah, you know what you're doing. Go for it.
For the most part, the building officials are always happy to see me. I mean, I try and build a relationship. For the last 10 years or so, I pretty much stick to New England just because the family. So all the building officials know me. And the fire marshals change year to year. But yeah, it's every now and again you get the hotheads, and you know, they come in thinking like, I don't know anything, so they want to lay down the law. And I just nicely just explain to them what my objectives are, what parameters I'm setting for myself. And then it's usually they back off. But yeah, you definitely get that pushback. You know, it's there's so many shows that come in and out of these buildings. They're constantly meeting different people. Like, I get it. I try not to get worked up. I go in and do my job.
So, you know, you're in back of house now, and you mentioned the production, and you were working with, there's pyro and all that stuff. I mean, I've never personally been to a Monster Jam, but I'm a kind of a wrestling guy, and, you know, I'm always amazed when you go to, like, a WWE event, just the timing of everything, the music, the pyro, and everything like that. I mean, is it similar with monster trucks where it's just a coordination of a bunch of different things that have to come together at a certain time to really make the show work?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have a format, and then, you know, for monster trucks, we actually do practice. So, you know, like, usually a day before the first show, we'll run a practice, like, first round of racing, or, like, from the national anthem, like, the opening ceremonies through the first round of racing, to set up, like, brackets for the first show for racing. And yeah, I mean, everything's timed, down to it. You know, you want to be kind of like wrestling. You know, you have a window, you have a time frame of where, you know, we need to provide. And then, you know, kind of like WWE, I mean, they might go over a little bit. We have the same thing. You know, a truck breaks or something like that, you know, it's going to cause a delay in the show, and you just have to adapt. It's just a lot of adapting, but there is a format. I won't say script, because it's very much competition. But each competition has a limit.
Certain parameters within the competition. That was actually going to be my next question, if this was like wrestling along the lines with predetermined, but it doesn't sound like that's the case.
No, there's a stigma that it is.
Really?
You know, if you ever talk to somebody that is like a fan, like a diehard fan of monster trucks, it's nobody can beat the black and green wrecking machine that is Gravedigger. And you know, some people say the same thing about Max D, which is now a retired identity. But yeah, no, it's anybody's game the minute those trucks hit the track.
Yeah, I mean, based on the commercials and stuff like that, you know, and people who are into it, it sounds like, you know, you see the commercials and you're like, I want to go see Gravedigger kick some ass. And, you know, there might be some disappointment if that doesn't happen, if somebody beats Gravedigger, but it's totally a full open competition. It's not, it's people say it's fixed in the way people are now saying the NFL is fixed, is what you're saying. They just whine and complain that it's fixed because they didn't get the result they wanted.
Exactly. And these drivers that are out there now, like, you know, a lot of them are second generation now, and, you know, fresh out of college, and, you know, they're all fighting for a spot at the World Finals, which is essentially Monster Jam's Super Bowl in terms of sports. So, and they only allow 24 trucks. So, you know, there's a limited slots that you're fighting for.
So second generation, you know, the families all sort of know each other. I'm guessing they all grew up with each other. Is it, and you don't have to go deeply into this if I'm revealing potentially too much, but, you know, is it cordial, or is it, you know, competition, or is it, you know, sort of like what we see in sports now where basketball players will, you know, beat the crap out of each other on the court, and then, you know, they'll go have a beer together afterwards? Is it more along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, we're all family on the road.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all family. We all look out for each other. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's competition on the track, and then afterward, it's all hugs and kisses, you know? So it's... And I do the same thing, you know, speaking of trying to build up, like, my children. So we joined 5 years ago. A friend of mine started Versus Monster Trucks in Fonda, New York, based out of Fonda, New York. And so we travel as a family, doing those events in the summertime. You know, we load up the camper, we bring the dog. My oldest son, he's one of my tech officials, you know, where I started.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of help oversee everything that's on the track, and I'm a tech official myself. My wife runs the merchandise tents with another friend of ours from out of Washington, D.C. And then my youngest son, he's doing the same. He helps out in the merchandise tent. He helps us with setup of the show. And then just this past year, he actually became our mascot. So we have a mascot now called Sprinkles the Bunny.
Oh, God. And,
yeah. It started out as a joke, and then it took off. So we've been continuing to do it. But during the show, like, he comes out and makes himself visible and, you know, engages the crowd. And then just before freestyle, we built him a ramp. So he comes out on, like, a small dirt bike. It's like a 200cc mini bike, I guess you could say. And he jumps carrots. But it's so simple. But the crowd,
I'm sure
the crowd loves it.
That sounds like something the crowd would pop for.
Yeah. And, you know, the last couple of shows that we've had him as our mascot, at the end of the show, like, his line is longer than the actual truck drivers. So it's, you know, it's something that's taken off, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to build it up for my boys, for their future now. You know, I've had my fun for over 20 years, and I want to see them carry it on.
That all sounds awesome, and I got to tell you, as a father of two, and it was looking pretty dicey in the beginning that, you know, my kids would be into any of the things that I'm into, but it turns out they're into a lot of things I'm into. My youngest is a huge wrestling fan and a huge baseball fan. My oldest loves hockey and the bands from the 90s and all that. I mean, that's going to be the coolest thing to have your kids and your family all working together in part of something that you all have a shared interest in.
Yeah, it's definitely something I never imagined 20 years ago when I started all this. And you know, I joke about it. We vacation. We do the WWE shows. We do a heck of a lot of concerts throughout the year, and we even travel for them. But that's why I joke with people is I do stunts and I do monster trucks so we can live life. I just feel like that's the rainy day fund, you know?
Yeah.
Me and my wife both work full-time jobs, you know, on top of traveling. So
how do you
just put the money away?
How do you keep it all together? I mean, you said you're 42. And that was about the time where, you know, I run my entertainment business doing I could bang out weddings and then Sunday run around Six Flags with the kids. And it was right around 42, 43, where it was like, daddy needs a day on the couch after that wedding last night.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. I mean, my oldest, he's 15. He's got when he turns 18, he can start working for Monster Jam. So everything I'm doing now is trying to build him up to, you know, to when he's 18. And I think once I get him into Monster Jam, I think then I'll kind of be like Homer Simpson and fade back into the bush, you know?
What's the coolest trip you guys have ever taken?
We do Jamaica every year, and my wife's a big Disney fan, so we do Disney about every other year.
Oh yeah, I did
we
just
do
see
one
on
of the Disney parks.
I did just see on your Facebook you went a couple of months ago.
Yeah, we did. We had never seen Disney at Christmas. So we've done all the other festivals, all the other holidays. We never saw it at Christmas. So that was our we were gone all summer doing monster trucks. Let's take a break and do something for us. So
was it worth it seeing Disney at Christmas?
It was. It's a completely different experience.
Yeah.
You know, and the rides are the same, but yet they have that whimsical aspect to them at Christmas time. You know, they change the lights and the music and even the scents of the parks are different throughout the holidays.
Yeah, when I went further ago, we were there for the Halloween celebration, and I mean, that was a blast. I mean, you bought the tickets for the extra Halloween party, and you know, you just flew around the park all night. It was a complete blast.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I mean, I try and instill it in my kids. Like we're blessed to be able to do what we mm-hmm. do, and I've been given so many opportunities. But at the end of the day, we're normal people. They're no more kids. They go to school like everybody else. You know, if we're home on the weekends, we're helping the Hoosick Valley High School band fundraise because they do a Disney trip every 5 years where they get to march in the parade at Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
So, you know, we're just normal people.
What was your favorite place to travel for Monster Jam?
I would have to say I did a tour of South America. I want to say it was 2013. I think it was after my second son was born. And that was fun. Just seeing, I was there for 3 weeks and just getting to see like the backcountry by bus going from town to town. I guess that was the highlight. But we're everywhere now. I've been over in Europe. I got to see Australia, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, India. And it's just Mexico of all places, you know, it's just out in the country. You see so much bad stuff like in the media about Mexico, but there are some really nice parts of Mexico that nobody shows you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've been to Mexico a ton on cruises, and it's a cool place. I like Mexico a lot. I mean,
it is.
I'm in the eastern part. I guess all the troubles are in the western part with the drug lords or whatever the hell everyone says is going on there. But yeah, I love Mexico.
Yeah, and you know, seeing Nashville for the first time, that was something that I really enjoyed. I hadn't been to Nashville in all the years. I think Nashville was the one city that got away from me. And then about 3 years ago, they had me in Nashville, and that was a blast, you know. It's little stuff like that, and each city has its own little quirks and little history. And back when I first started and I was younger and I guess, you know, wanting to live it up and experience everything, you know, I spent that time. I would go to a show, we'd leave the show, and then we would go out and have a drink or two. You know, now that I'm older, I go to these towns or these cities and I'm trying to sightsee. You know, I'm trying to be a tourist. And I guess that's what I'm trying to go back and do now. You know, because I didn't when I was younger, when I first started out.
Is there a town that you traveled to that surprised you, either good or in a good way or a bad way?
Ooh, that's actually a good question. I guess locally, I would say Worcester and Providence. There's a lot more to Worcester and Providence than I had ever imagined. Now that, you know, I'm getting to see them as tourists. And then Washington, D.C. is another one. which will be this week. My family hasn't gotten to experience Washington, D.C. I have on multiple occasions. So those I'm really looking forward to with the family.
So you're like you could be like the built-in tour guide. I love Washington, D.C. When I went, my kids were little, and they just weren't, let's just say Washington, D.C. was not of interest to them. I mean, they're like, oh, look, it's a big White House. Who cares? We went to the Smithsonian. They had Dorothy's slippers. They had a Seinfeld exhibit. I was losing my mind, and we ended up leaving early because the kids were just like, no, this is stupid. Can't we ride a roller coaster or something, Dad? And so I got to go back a few years ago by myself and, you know, go back to the Smithsonian, except it was closed because of one of the many government shutdowns. So, yeah, I haven't really gotten to go through the Smithsonian, which is I got to do at some point.
Yeah, I think I'll probably miss that because I'll be working. But I think that is on the list of things that the family's going to do because we have three shows, but I think they're only going to come to one. So,
and where are the shows? The Capital One, or?
Yep, they're at the Capital One. So, there's actually a basketball game tomorrow night. So they're gonna ship in. They're gonna bring in the dirt overnight to be ready for Friday.
Yeah. So how does that aspect? We got a few minutes left, but how does that aspect work? Because you're, you know, I imagine you're going into these towns, and you know, particularly this time of year, you got hockey, you got basketball. You have to bring the dirt in, and it just kind of sits outside waiting to be brought in after the basketball game?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, there'll be a line of maybe 10 or 15 dump trucks, and then they'll get their first initial dump in, and then they'll keep doing trains of loads of dirt from, you know, wherever we're storing the dirt at for that event. And we do, because it is hockey season up here in the Northeast, we do a lot of our shows are actually over ice. So pretty much what it is we lay like artificial turf and then plywood. Or they cover it with plastic, the artificial turf, plywood, and then they remove the dashers and the glass, and that's it. We put dirt right on over the ice. As far as like the basketball courts, like they bring the floors down to concrete, you know.
How do you get it out? How do you get the dirt out? Is that like
same way? It's just the reverse process.
Yeah,
the way it came in. You know, we have excavators. So they load up the dump trucks and they pull it back out.
Wow, fascinating stuff. I mean, I'm glad you reached out to me on Facebook so we could have this conversation, because this is wicked cool to learn about stuff. You know, that's why I want to do the show. I learn about stuff I don't know about and learn more about certain things and learn about people in the community doing really cool things. And Danny, thank you for taking the time to come on the program and tell us about the really cool stuff you're doing with stunts and particularly Monster Jam. And I'm glad to see, you know, it's been a real bonding experience for your family.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on the show. You know, it's I enjoy talking about it. You know, in this sense, I mean, for educational purposes, or you know, for something like for you, you may or may not have been interested in it before, but now you might want to go watch a show. You know, so I guess that's what it's about. I do it for my kids. I do it for other people's kids. You know, I like to see the smiles. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
And the kids really do love it. The kids that are into it really do love it. And, you know, from going to baseball games and going to wrestling and hockey, you know, the look on the kids' faces when, you know, they see their favorite players or their favorite monster trucks, it's really one in a million.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I guess that's what really keeps it going at the end of the day. You know, because there was times where I wanted, you know, I didn't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw like my kids were getting into it. And then, you know, you have a bad show or you feel like, I guess you can be your own worst critic. what I think might be a bad show might be the greatest show to some kid, you know? And I guess that's what I strive for. But yeah, at the end of the day, we are our own worst critics too. But as long as we make somebody happy.
Yeah. And certainly on this show, we only just started when I was doing mornings, you know, I was like, that show wasn't great. And those are the ones you get the emails on saying, oh, that was awesome. Thank you. Thanks for doing it. And yada, yada, yada. So yeah, you're right. We're our own worst critics sometimes. But Danny, thank you so much for joining us. Danny Barnes from Monster Jam. Are you guys going to be around Lebanon Valley this year? Is the schedule not out that far in advance? Or
Lebanon Valley is a new promoter. The other company I work for, Versus, we will be in Fonda in October. Other than that, I think we're in Albany in April.
Okay, Albany will work.
Yeah, Albany the weekend of Easter. We're in Albany, and I'm in Providence following D.C.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure you can Google Monster Jam and find out all the information you need to know. I got to check out a show. I know a lot more about it. Danny, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and have a great rest of the day. And thank you for tuning in this morning, and we will we'll be back again with you tomorrow morning here at 7:30 on WTBR. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.